This message is part of the educational ministry of Columbia International University. We've been preparing world Christians to know Him and to make Him known since 1923.
Well, good morning. Good morning. It's good to be with you all this morning. Open your Bible, if you would, to Leviticus chapter 8. Leviticus chapter 8. There's a song I used to love to hear in Vacation Bible School and in our churches on Sunday morning. There's power, power, wonder-working power, and the blood of the Lamb. This morning, I want to talk about being redeemed by blood. In the book of Leviticus, chapter 8 and chapter 9, there's a word that's reoccurring, and it's the word altar. The word altar is used some 23 times between chapter 8 and chapter 9 of the book of Leviticus. We learn quickly, without an altar, there can be no acceptable sacrifice. Without a sacrifice, we cannot approach a holy God because He's deserving of that sacrifice because of our sin. But there also must be a priesthood to serve at that altar. 23 times this word altar is mentioned. In the Old Testament, God's people had a priesthood. But in the New Testament, God's people are the priesthood. We serve as believer priests based on 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, basically the whole chapter there. We're God's priesthood now. We serve God at the altar. As I look at chapter 8 and chapter 9 of Leviticus, I've asked myself the question several times. I've asked this text, what makes a priest acceptable to God? And of course, there's four things that are listed here. First of all, it's the water. It's in chapter 8, verse 6, which makes us acceptable to God. Which reminds me, and it should remind you, that we all need to be washed. You should look at your neighbor real quick and ask your neighbor, did you wash this morning? I know that's a very uncomfortable question to ask your neighbor, especially if you smell something this morning. That may be a really uncomfortable question. Some of y'all taking a little long to ask that question. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11, it reminds us that everyone has to be washed. Also in the book of Leviticus chapter 8, it reminds me in verse 7 through 9 that one has to have their garments consecrated before the Lord. In Leviticus 8, 7 through 9, that even their dress, the way they dress, needs to be consecrated to God. And the New Testament reminds us that we're dressed in His righteousness. And sure enough, we have the righteousness of Christ on us now, clothed with humility. It reminds me also that that the priests, according to Leviticus chapter 8, verses 10 through 12, also need the oil to be acceptable to God, which we realize that in the New Testament, the idea is to be anointed by the Spirit of God. 1 John chapter 2, verse 27. So let's look at it again. First of all, we need the water. We need to be washed. We need our garments right. And in the New Testament, we're clothed in His righteousness. We need the oil, which it reminds me in 1 John chapter 2, verse 20 and verse 27, that idea of oil is to be anointed by the Spirit of God. So what else is there? I think it's the blood. And that's where I want to spend some time with us this morning, with this idea of being consecrated by His blood. It tells us in this text that according to verses 14 through 17, that He used a young ox for the purification, for the sin offering. In verse 18 through 21, they used the ram for the burnt offering. But as we arrive at verses 22 to 30, it reminds us that they used another ram as a peace offering. Or some would say a fellowship offering. I think a priest, in order to be properly ordained, Leviticus chapter 8, to serve at God's altar, needed to have the blood on him. Look at it. Leviticus chapter 8, verse 22, 23, and 24. And he brought the second ram, the ram of consecration. Then Aaron and his sons laid their hands on the head of the ram, and Moses killed it. Also, he took some of its blood and put it on the tip of Aaron's right ear, on the thumb of his right hand, and on the big toe of his right foot. Then verse 24 tells us, then he brought Aaron's sons and Moses, put some of the blood on the tips of their right ears and on the thumb of their right hands and on the big toes of their right feet. And Moses sprinkled the blood all around on the altar. This morning, my whole premise, kind of my whole theme that the Lord has been dealing with me with is this idea that we need the blood on our lives in order to serve him well. We need the blood on our lives to serve him well. And of course, in the Old Testament, it was the blood of this ram for the priest. But I think the idea in the New Testament is the blood of Christ on our lives. So as we look at this foreshadowing of what's going to happen in the New Testament, it's up to you to ask, do I have enough blood of Christ on my life in order to serve at the altar of God well? Reminds me in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. As we serve the Lord, do we have enough blood on us? Are we consecrated enough? Yes, we can have the oil. Yes, we can have the water. Yes, we can have the right garment, but do we have the blood on our lives? If you notice here, I think the first place that Moses, after slaughtering that second ram, then Moses took some of the blood and applied it to the lobe of Aaron's right ear. The reason why I think he applied the blood to Aaron's right ear is because the priest was to always to hearken to the word and the commandment of God. He was supposed to be able to hear from God in the midst of chaos, in the midst of confusion, in the midst of a people that sometimes did not want to hear from God. The priest was supposed to have enough blood on his ear to be able to hear from God. I believe our students here at CIU represents the cream of the crop. I believe this is the best biblical university in the land. And being that we're the best, we ought to have the blood on our ear this morning, so that we can hear from God in the midst of a chaotic world, in the midst of a politically messed up world, in a world that's fighting one another. We should be able to hear from God. And I want to ask, as we start this school year, is there enough blood applied to your ear? Are you able to hear from God? You know, we have a challenge. Sometimes we can't hardly hear from one another. Some of us, we have a challenge in hearing from those who are serving leadership over us. Sometime a professor, sometime an administrator. Sometime even students, your peers, that can possibly help you be better for the journey. And I'm wondering, do we have this struggle because we don't have enough blood on our ear? We're not consecrated enough to what I call holy listening. Not just listen with your ears, but the ability to listen with your heart. I want to ask you this morning, are you able to hear someone when they're trying to build you up, change your direction? In our text, it's already dealt with sin earlier in the chapter 8 of Leviticus, offering this sin offering to the Lord. But now this offering is for that of service. And I'm wondering, has some of us dealt with our sin, but we haven't dealt with our service yet? And having enough blood on our ears. You know, I realize as a pastor, realize as a professor, sometimes the stuff that you will hear, the crap that you will hear, will sometimes require there to be an extra dose of blood on your ear. So that when people are speaking foully, you're still able to stay connected to a holy God, even in the midst of unholy people. I think this morning we need enough blood on our ears to be able to hear ourselves. Because sometimes I think we're ignoring the Spirit of God, even in us, as we serve at his table. And I appreciate the imagery that's used here. That, hey, the first step, just put something on his ear. Put it on his right ear. I want to be like Peter this morning, though. Lord, not just my right ear, but my left ear, too. Because I need both ears consecrated. And I wonder, is there anyone that feels that way? Lord, not just one ear, but both ears, Lord. Because I want to be totally consecrated to you in terms of my listening. Reminds me of what it says in James chapter 1. It says, be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to get angry. Lord, help me with my listening this morning. I'm wondering if we were just to take a survey this morning. You don't have to raise your hand, but this is a pop quiz. Check your own paper. How many of you realize that you need to listen a whole lot better than you've done in the past? Maybe it's your cultural bias that's throwing you off in the past of listening well. Maybe you think you know as much as the person that's talking that throws you off from listening. Maybe it's some sin that's creeping into your service that keeps you from listening well. My prayer is that the Lord would just put just a little bit of blood on your ear this morning. So as you carry along this semester, not on this semester, but for the rest of your life, as you serve the Lord around the globe, that you learn how to listen well. But that's not the only place he's applying the blood. Notice the text again. It says the next place that Moses applied this blood to Aaron was on his right thumb, was on his hand. He wanted to put something on his right thumb, maybe because he was to discharge the priestly functions properly. Maybe that's why Moses put it on his right thumb, because there was some work that his hands must do. You know, I was in the restroom the other day, and I don't mean to be gross in anyone out right before lunch, but I was in the restroom the other day, and I'd done my business, and I was washing my hands. And all of a sudden, the stall flushed behind me. And a guy came out of the stall, you know, fixing himself up. He looked in the mirror, but he walked out of the door without. washing his hands. I thought to myself, what doeth thou this? I mean, soap, water, everything is provided here. Hey, dry your hands on my coat here. Do something. Wash your hands. And I'm sitting there thinking in the bathroom, that's just gross. He walked out of here without washing his hands. And what made it even grosser, y'all still with me? Y'all didn't leave me alone yet, did you? What made it even grosser is when I stepped out of the restroom, he was shaking hands in the lobby with people. I said, no, what are you doing? You didn't wash your hands. I wanted to say, he's nasty. Go wash your nasty hands. Yes, go wash your hands. And I was just bewildered. I was confused. I stared at him. Yes, I did, because I knew he didn't wash his hands. When I got back to my office, I sat there reflecting on that brother not washing his hands. And it was almost like the Spirit of the Lord began to speak to me. How many times have you tried to serve folks spiritually without washing your hands? I said, Lord, it won't that bad. It won't bad as that brother. I mean, that was real gross what he did. And it was almost like I had a conversation. He was like, no, it's even grosser when you try to serve God's people and you do it with dirty hands. I wonder how many of us, we try to serve people, but we're serving people with dirty hands, with not enough blood on your hands, consecrated blood Now I realize some Old Testament scholars probably listening to me going, wait a minute. Now, you know, David couldn't build God a house because he was a man that had blood on his hands. Thank you for raising that with me so I can address that. You see, he had blood because he was a murderer. But Moses here used the blood of a ram that was consecrated to God so he could consecrate his people. A different image altogether. Let me ask you something. Are you working with clean hands this morning? When you don't work with clean hands, you work with your own agenda. You work with your own ideas. You may be doing good things, even great things, but with the wrong motive, because you're working with dirty hands. Even as you serve people, even when they can't see your heart, God can see your heart. I'm reminded of what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. He reminds me that I'm not worried about being judged by anyone. And he says in verse 3, I can't even judge myself. He said, but when the Lord shows up, he'll be able to truly judge the motives of my heart. Are you doing it with clean hands today? You know, there'll be some time you'll have to be in the midst of stuff that will just mess you up in the midst of a chaotic world. But I pray that you still operate with clean hands. Don't go to the bathroom and use it without washing your hands. And don't try to serve God's people without, first of all, washing your hands. I think one of the ways you can wash your hands, say, Lord, consecrate me. Before I deal with them, Lord, you deal with me. So I can deal with them as a clean vessel and not as a dirty vessel operating with dirty hands. I wonder how many of us need to hear that today. Maybe we've been doing ministry all summer and we think we're clean enough to keep on doing ministries without stopping and consecrating ourselves. We get so familiar with doing it the same old way until we don't think it takes any more, requiring any more oil, requiring more washing, requiring any more blood. It's always worked for me, and you're not taking the time to consecrate yourself. I wonder how many of us are studying. We're trying to write papers. We're trying to get the A in a professor's grade book, but not an A in his grade book. Lord, help us. Consecrate our hands, Lord. Even as we hold hands around campus, Lord, consecrate our, y'all not praying with me, wrong church. Help us, Lord, consecrate our hands. But that's not the last place that he's going to place blood. Notice that he did it on the right earlobe. Notice that he did it on the thumb. But there was a third place. I think he put it on his right big toe. That's in the text. I think he put on the right big toe because he wanted him to walk correctly in the sanctuary. You know, as we serve at the altar of God, we'll have to walk in some strange places sometimes. And when places are strange and filled with stuff that we don't normally want to walk through, I pray that he keeps us from getting the stuff on us that we're walking through. We want to be able to be a help to people and not join in the herd of them when we walk through the chaos and even sometimes the mess that we'll have to walk through. He wants us to help us walk a whole lot better. There used to be a kind of a saying we used to have in the African American church, the places that I used to go, I don't go anymore. Until someone challenged that those places are the first places that we need to go and win those who are lost there to Christ. Lord, how can we do that? By having clean feet. Feet that shod with the preparation of the gospel. Lord, clean my feet. Holy feet. And one of us I brought up Peter earlier, you know, when the Lord was washing his disciples' feet. Peter said, "You can't wash my feet, Lord." Of course, he tells Peter, "If you don't let me wash your feet, you can't have any part of my kingdom." Peter said, "Not just my feet, Lord. I think I need a bath now. I wonder how many of us we need to have clean feet. Maybe they've been walking in some strange places, carrying you some strange places. But God can use this moment to say, hey, as a priest of God, to have clean feet so when you walk, you're not walking in trash and getting it on you. You're keeping yourself consecrated, even in those places that are filthy and dirty. The Lord is allowing you to remain clean, to remain pure. Lord, put some blood on my ear. Put some blood on my hands. Put some blood on." That represents the totality of the priestly ministry as it represents blood. I want blood in what I hear, holy listening. I want blood in my hands, and I want blood in my feet. I hear you. I heard what you just said. What if I have one of them? I got blood. I have enough blood on one of those areas, not all of them. How am I doing? Well, you grade your own paper. 1 out of 3 still gives you an F. In Dr. Jones's grade book. How about if I have 2 out of 3? I have 2 right. I have blood in this area, the blood, but not necessarily in that area. Well, you grade your paper. That's only 66%. So how many places do I need to have this blood? I want to act like Peter all over me. I need it all over me. I want to be the first to confess that some days I act like I don't have any blood on me. Because instead of running from the trash, I run to the trash. But the Lord has been teaching me some things about me lately. To put a little bit more blood. Put some more blood on my right hand, to put some more blood on my toes. So I don't find myself in those situations that will derail the gospel in somebody else's life. I want to be better for my family this morning. I want my little girls to see me and say, "You know what? My daddy is a believer. He believes in Christ. He lives what he preaches." Because they see blood. They see blood. They see the blood on my life. You know, in the New Testament, they tell me that all through the Old Testament, they had to continue this process of this blood over and over again. Blood on the ear, blood on the right hand, blood on the toe. But they tell me there was one that came in the New Testament that when he shed his blood, we didn't have to have any more burnt offerings, no more sin offerings, no more offerings of purification or fellowship. That when he shed his blood on Calvary's cross, he didn't use the blood of animals. He didn't use the blood of a lamb. He didn't use the blood of a goat. I think John said it this way: "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world." He shed his own blood. And what really makes this story nice, that in Hebrews it says that when he shed his blood on the mercy seat, praise the name of our God, he was able to sit down on the right hand of God the Father. Why? Because his work was finished. That's good news this morning. Because I came along years later, born in the sin, clothed in the iniquity. My heart wasn't right. But when I gave myself to Jesus, he changed me from the inside out because of his blood. I thank God for his blood. I thank God for Jesus' blood that washed me, that made me whole, that cleansed me this morning, and that made me acceptable to a holy God as I serve him, not only today, but for the rest of my life. He's made me acceptable to him. And I thank God for his blood because I don't have to worry about doing it over and over and over and over again, because his blood was once and for all. And I thank God for it this morning. Now, as you sit there, It's quiz time. Where are you with the blood on your life today? Are you acting like you got the blood on your life? Where are you with the blood this morning? Are you acting like God has changed you from the inside out? Are you a public Christian but a private phony? Do you have the blood on your life this morning? Do you have the blood as you serve, as you walk? I wonder how many more of us could use some time saying, Lord, I appreciate you for your sacrifice, and apply more of that blood, that precious blood, to my life. Every eye closed. I want to challenge you just for a moment. Maybe there was someone sitting here listening to me that you realize that some things that you've been hearing, that you've been laughing at and crying over, is inappropriate. You realize some things that you've been listening to has started to derail your relationship with Jesus. You realize some things are off-center in your life. You say, Lord, I need more holy listening in my life. If that's you today, I'd invite you to stand. Maybe there's someone under the sound of my voice today that maybe your hands hadn't been as clean as they need to be as you serve God's people, as you serve people that are without Christ. Maybe you say, Lord, I need you to consecrate me on that. I'll invite you to stand. Just stand and say, Lord, I need you right now to consecrate me on that. Maybe there's someone today, you realize that, hey, you may have the first one right, you may have the second, but the third one is a little bit off center. That you haven't been doing what you need to do. And maybe you haven't been walking in those places that you should be walking. Just stand and say, Lord, help me that I might not be in those places that get me in trouble. Lord, I need your blood on my life. I need it more today than I needed it yesterday. I need the blood of Jesus. I need it in my relationships. I need it in my studies. I need the blood. I've ignored the blood in so many areas, Lord, but I thank you for the blood that redeems me this morning, God. That changes me from the inside out. Thank you for your blood.
We hope you were blessed by this message. Additional audio messages and learning resources are available at www.ciu.edu/bookstore or call 803-807-5263. Messages are also available by podcast at iTunes. CIU is a regionally accredited biblical university offering undergraduate and graduate degree programs. Our purpose is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for letting us minister to you today.